In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There will be a lot going on in our worship service this Sunday. As you heard in the announcements, this is St. Michael and All Angels Sunday, and you will hear about angels and have heard already in the scripture readings and the sermon and pretty much everything that we're going to do that Sunday. It's also the day that we will be baptizing a child, Violet Vossler, and of course we'll give a lot of special attention to that. And today, our gospel reading talks especially about children. Children are very important to us. We will consider how these three aspects intersect with one another. Let's start by thinking about children. What is the difference between being childlike and childish? When we say someone is childlike, that's a compliment. To be childlike is to be innocent, candid, trusting. Those are some of the positive aspects of childhood. To say that someone is childish is to say something negative. To be childish is to embody the negative side of childhood, to be immature, self-indulgent, irresponsible. As the gospel reading begins today, the disciples are being childish. They are trying to get superiority over one another. They are fishing for applause and awards as if they were greater than they really were. Each disciple thought that he deserved to be number one. The me-first attitude is far from Christian. Jesus used an object lesson to teach them humility. Jesus put a child in their midst and said that the goal was to be humble like a child. Jesus is telling them to have childlike purity and innocence. Christ himself embodied the positive essence of childhood. He was humble. He left his magnificent heavenly home to be born a poor human child. Children in Jesus' day were not valued as they are today. An unwanted child could be easily and legally discarded. Children were often little more than cheap labor for their families or for their masters if they were slaves. Like a child, Jesus was despised and treated harshly by the people of his time. But most of all, as a good child is obedient to his parents, Jesus was obedient to his heavenly Father, obedient even unto death, even death on a cross. So Christ is like a child, and we Christians are supposed to be like Christ, so we are supposed to be childlike. In fact, when Jesus talks about the children and the little ones, he is not referring only to children in the biological or chronological sense. He is also referring to all the children of God, those who have submitted to him, and particularly the vulnerable, the poor, the widowed, the orphaned, the oppressed. Christ tells us that when we receive a child, we receive him. What does it mean to receive children? It means to pray with them, to teach them to be truthful and faithful, and to follow through on the promises made by their parents and the congregations when they were baptized. Those were promises to teach them the Bible and to raise them in the Christian faith. Jesus also gives an unusually stern warning to those who despise and abuse children and lead them astray. We can all think of the many obvious ways that that happens today, and we don't need to catalog them now. However, a more subtle form of leading them astray is the example that parents and other adults set for them. Think of the things that you say or others say, especially the things about other people that are negative that are said in front of your children or grandchildren. Would you want a child to talk that way? Think of how you behave or the behavior of others. Is that the lifestyle that you would want for a child? Satan is incredibly skillful And he knows that the best way to corrupt children is through their parents and through other seemingly trustworthy, dependable adults who are unwittingly doing his bidding. And his goal goes right back to the childishness we began with regarding the disciples. As we see in the Revelation, Lucifer also wanted to be number one, to be the absolute greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He wanted to be God. The devil, that fallen angel, thought it was better to rule in hell than to serve in heaven, so he rebelled against God's authority. How very wrong he was. Lucifer lost, he is still losing, and he will lose again. The Bible doesn't really tell us much more about demons or angels, at least not as much as our inquiring minds would like to know. Quoting Shakespeare's Hamlet, "There are more things in heaven on earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy." We do know that the angels are spiritual buildings, beings that can take physical form for God's purposes. People are not angels before they are born, and they do not become angels when they die. Angels and humans are two different species. It used to be popular to say, we are not physical beings on a spiritual journey, we are spiritual beings on a physical journey. That sounds pretty, but it's not true. Angels are spirits, and we are made of dust. Dust that God generously breathes life and spirit into when we were conceived. We do know that angels serve primarily as God's messengers and helpers. They were present with Jesus at his birth and at his resurrection. They ministered to him after his temptation in the wilderness and in the Garden of Gethsemane before his crucifixion. God's word tells us that there is a ranking and a hierarchy among angels, but unlike humans and the fallen demons, there is no jealousy, no competition between God's angels. As great as the angels are, we do not worship them or pray to them. We worship and pray to God alone. Today's gospel reading seems to imply that each believer and each Christian child has a particular angel, a guardian angel, to watch over them. Do they? Perhaps. I kind of like that idea. But it could also mean that angels in general watch over all children. Scripture does not give us sufficient evidence to say for certain. We can be sure, though, that God is directing and guiding us and the world through his holy angels still today, just as he has always done. Have I ever seen an angel? I don't know. Probably yes. The Bible says sometimes we entertain angels and are unaware of it. I can say for certain that I've witnessed the work of demons, and by implication, if there are demons, then there also must be angels. Strangely enough, demons are also known unwittingly to witness to Christ, as they did when Jesus cast them out of possessed people. Such is Christ's power. There will be angels in heaven. Jesus described heaven as a big party, an endless wedding banquet. The Holy Communion that we celebrate here on earth is a foretaste, a preview of that great heavenly banquet. When we receive the Holy Communion, we are eating the bread of heaven, as do the angels and the saints who have gone on before us to Christ's nearer presence. Holy Communion is a little bit of heaven on earth. And as such, it should be a moment of peace for us, a moment of peace that expands into our whole day and then into our whole lives. How can we eat the same heavenly food and not be of the same spirit, one body united in Christ? We can't. God's people must be united, reconciled, forgiven, and forgiving. Why do we baptize infants then? There is a debate over what age children should receive holy baptism. Jesus tells us to baptize all nations, nations include children. In Acts, the apostles wrote that they baptized entire households. Households include children. We are all born sinners, and we need the grace of God in our lives as soon as possible. Baptism is a gift of God that we do not earn. God gives us the Holy Spirit and the promise of eternal life in baptism. In effect, in baptism, we are buried with Christ and raised again with him. We are all equal before God, men and women, children and adults. We are all equally sinners. No one has ever done anything for God or given anything to God such that God was in debt to them. Holy Communion and baptism are gifts. We receive them. We don't take them as if it was somehow our accomplishment. Jesus accomplished our salvation by his death. Now he washes us clean of every sin and shares his very body and blood with us that we might be forgiven and spend eternity with him and with his angels at that marriage feast of the Lamb, which has no end. Thanks be to God. Amen.